Well, hello, listeners. Welcome back to season two of Nightmare Lane, where our delightful host is going to wow us with her creepy tales of mystery and hauntings. But this is not just any episode. Oh no, on this episode, we have guest hosts, Scary Savannah. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having us on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Brett.
And Crystal.
This is Crystal, and we are on the podcast, Scary Savannah and Beyond, and you can find us, if you would so desire, by going to scarysavannahandbeyond.com, and we have links to our podcast and video podcast as well. We have a podcast from the most haunted city in America, Savannah, Georgia, so if you have not checked that out, you might want to look us up, because we are just riddled with ghosts here.
They're everywhere.
That sounds so exciting and like scary at the same time. Like just imagining going to get a cup of coffee and it's like turn around and there's another ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
You get used to them.
Everything's haunted here. I mean, you go down to the McDonald's and go get a supersized combo and you never know. I mean, it might be a Civil War soldier serving it to you.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe not, but I mean, it could happen, right?
I would go down there for that experience.
I think you would until you have experienced
it. Until one grabs your arm and then you're like, oh no.
Yeah, we made the mistake of staying in one of the most haunted hotels here, which is the Marshall House. And we both experienced paranormal activity, even though I didn't think it would happen. It did. So watch out what you wish for. You can find it here.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Good to know.
Kevin and I went to New Orleans, NOLA, just before COVID occurred. And we went on a, what was it, like a midnight ghost tour or like a late night ghost tour, something like that. And we definitely brought something back to our Airbnb with us. So it was not a pleasant experience.
You don't want to buy those haunted trinkets. I'm telling you right now, if you got the voodoo lady trying to give you one, don't take it. Just say no.
Yeah. All right. Host, what story do you have for us today?
Well, good thing we were talking about hauntings, because I want to talk about the Guinness World Record most haunted village in the United Kingdom.
All right. Well, what would that be?
I just took a drink. I'm so sorry.
Kevin took off. And, you know, our associate producers here, they want to make their presence known as well.
Of course. I will try and be very respectful to the associate producers. My bad. And thank you, Brett, for stepping in because Kevin missed her line, which she has ended. Yes. Anyway, so Pluckley Village is in Kent and it holds the Guinness World Record for the most haunted village in Britain. It has 12 recorded ghosts in the village, and it also has, sorry, my, associate producer here is yelling at me. So it has 12 recorded ghosts, and after it achieved the world record for being the most haunted village, Guinness stopped handing out that record. So they will stay the most haunted, and they're the only village that is shown in that section of the Guinness World Record.
That feels like cheating.
It is. It's like the
fix
is in.
No one else can take it?
Yeah.
What if the village next door ends up with 13 ghosts? That's even a more ominous number. It feels unfair.
It does. It feels very unfair. I feel like somebody from Pluckley worked at Guinness and they just fixed the race, basically.
Yeah. Such a shame. But I would like to hear about these ghosts.
Also, if you're like a dead socialite, this would be the village for you to go to, because you know you're going to make at least 12 friends.
That's true.
I'm not sure these are the type of friends that a socialite would want.
Oh, well, I don't know. The afterlife probably has different standards and expectations for friends.
This is true. I'm going to dive in for our first ghost, though, and let you know what our socialite is going to be up for.
Okay.
Does that sound good? Okay. So our first ghost is actually a haunted place called the Screaming Woods.
Oh, my God. That sounds awesome.
I think we've got that in our backyard.
Oh, I think those are just rats in the trees, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
I can't tell you, Crystal, how disappointed I am to hear that. I'm sorry. I was really hoping it was ghosts, but okay.
No, it's worse.
It's actually much worse because in the Southeast U.S., we have rats in trees. We have rats that jump from trees. We've got all kinds of wonderful creatures here.
Aren't those squirrels?
No, they're still rats at night.
No, these are rats. Oh my God.
And they drive our dogs crazy.
Oh my God. No, thank you.
That's why you can keep those. Have an exterminator every month to make sure they don't come inside.
Yeesh.
That sounds riveting. I meant that not sarcastically. I know it came out sarcastically. It's not what I meant. I'm really interested in the differences of like regional living and stuff. So that was actually very riveting for me.
Well, we are about as far away from you as we can get on the continental U.S.
We got weird stuff out here in the deep south.
Yeah, actually, we have family in Bessemer, Alabama, so we get a lot of fun updates whenever we call home.
Oh, yeah. So, do you have cockroaches the size of your fist?
Yeah. Where I'm at right now. I left that behind.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I would rather rain than big bugs. Thank you.
Yeah. it's called the Screaming Woods or the Daring Woods, as locals call it. And it is said that at night near the woods, you can hear all the screams of those who've wandered in intentionally to kill themselves. Or, incidentally, they got lost and perished due to inclement weather.
So the elements.
There we go. Just so you know, what I actually wrote down in my notes was what the F is the word I'm looking for. I knew you would deliver.
Excellent notes.
Yep. Okay. So there's people that have just wandered in there and they died due to the elements, or people who have intentionally gone in and killed themselves. There are a few ghosts in the woods around Pluckley. One man in cardigan can be seen walking in the lane in the direction towards the woods. Most people who have seen him don't realize he's a ghost. His name is Henry Turf, and he was a teacher or headmaster of the Smarden School. And a few years after World War II, he went for a walk and hung himself from a tree. He was found a week later by locals who realized he was missing.
It took them a week to notice he was missing?
Yeah, the story goes that it took them almost 2 weeks. He was reported missing at first and they couldn't find him. And now he continues to travel from Smarden School to the woods, taking his last walk eternally.
That is so sad.
Well, that just sounds kind of sad, yeah.
Yeah. Also, we need to record a trigger warning at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, because of suicide. I'll do that separately, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it does make me sad. And also, like, there's a few ghosts that are in the woods that I'm like, okay, I can understand the whole screaming thing. But if you're going in intentionally, and maybe this is ignorant of me, but if you're going in intentionally committing suicide, is there really a lot of screaming? Or is that like the wailing of a day after?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like this guy would make a lot of noise. He obviously like chose an out of the way area to like kind of go quietly, I think. So yeah, why are they calling it the Screaming Woods?
Excellent question.
Yes. So also in the woods is a colonel. No one entirely knows who he is, but he is seen walking in the woods in full dress uniform. Cool. And he was another man that was found hung, but they don't know if he hung himself or if somebody else hung him. There's some rumors that his neighbors hung him after a war because he fought on the other side.
My question to you is, who goes walking in these woods then? This sounds like a pretty suspect place to be. So do people still take strolls there?
So I looked it up because I had a similar question. I was like, is people just like going out there and checking it out? I looked it up on Google Maps, and you can do like the aerial view. The woods are right next to the road to the town. So when you're going to Pluckley Village, you're passing through these woods. So a lot of the times the people are reporting it because they're either walking up and down the lane or they're driving up and down the lane and they're just glancing and seeing them in the woods.
Oh.
Well, that is creepy because we used to have a place in North Carolina where we lived and we would drive down the road with no street lights. It was on a mountain ridge, actually. And one time when I was driving by myself, I thought I saw something standing out there, like a woman dressed in a white dress. And I don't know if this place has a reputation for that, why people would, you know, take their eyes off the road while they're driving, because it's terrifying. Trust me, I can tell you from experience.
You know, that's terrifying. Yeah, and that's a really good point. Just keep your eyes on the road. One, your driving will improve, and two, you save yourself the opportunity to see something terrifying.
Okay, but Kevin, you and I have both been to the United Kingdom, and you know that there's really not a lot of, like, vehicular traffic in these areas. Most of the time, people are walking.
Well, also, there's not a lot of trees in these areas, so I'm very suspicious about this screaming woods moniker, because I seriously doubt it's woods, and I seriously doubt anyone's screaming yet.
I mean, okay, yeah, you're right. It could be a loose exaggeration of, or so loosely.
You're telling me we've never been to England. We are in the Southeast U.S. I think the furthest away we've been is Las Vegas, and you're telling me that everything I learned from Robin Hood, that the entire country of England isn't covered in a huge forest, is a lie?
It is a lie. Well, because they cut down the trees. English oak was...
It's not a lie. It's just outdated information. Because they harvested all of that and they didn't replenish it. So now, so like in the United States, if you get a notebook that's college rule, it's like 75 cents, 50 cents on sale, a dollar most. And you have a notebook that you can do for school and such. In the United Kingdom, that same notebook would be almost $10 to $15.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they're an island, and they harvested most of their trees. So they have a lot of, like, replanting programs over there. But, they get their wood outsourced. And it's why... like here, especially in Washington, we do a lot of wood harvesting, but you can see the fields where they've done all of the new tree planting. We have so many regulations about what you can cut down.
Yes. Now you say this, and I'm actually sitting here and I feel like royalty because I love notebooks and I collect
them. It's
a
very good thing we don't live there, because he buys notebooks all the time for no reason.
And I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to do show notes in this. Yeah, I'm going to do production.
He does nothing in them.
But instead, I just buy notebooks and I write nothing in them.
They're all empty.
Besmirch them. So
they're too pretty to write in.
They are actually quite pretty. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I
can relate to that 100%. I have a lot of books in my house, and I have a lot of bookshelves, and like one of my bookshelves, three shelves are just dedicated to the empty notebooks I've collected, and I'm going to write something amazing in each of those notebooks someday.
Someday.
So but, you understand me completely.
Oh yeah, I get you.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm with Crystal. See, I collect notebooks too, and I collect like dorky, cute ones. I have a tie-dye fuzzy notebook with a squishy llama on the front, and it's where I put all of my show notes. So I write in all of my notebooks.
Well, I think about it. I usually write my name on the first page, and then I'm like, man, that just doesn't look right. So I'll just put this on the shelf and buy a new one.
Yes.
Fair enough.
I'm looking for the good enough idea to go in that beautiful notebook.
I stopped trying to be enough for the world.
Why are the woods screaming?
Sorry, was that too depressing? Okay. Actually, we're going to move on from the woods. Can you hear me? No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're here. He's trying Kevin. To quiet the dog down.
Kevin, can you hear me?
I think we lost Kevin.
Oh.
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. I apologize. My dogs lost their minds. We live on an island ourselves. The trees are still here, fortunately.
They're palm trees. So
our dogs, we live near condos, and every time tourists come here, because we are a beach destination, they lose their minds.
Oh, no worries.
Everyone, they hate them.
It's okay. I think we lost Kevin, though. So if you guys give me 1 second, I'm just going to tell her to plug and unplug her headphones. I'll be right back.
I will play the role of Kevin. Apparently, it's like Kevin just
got disconnected.
Kevin has left the cast.
Kevin has left the building, left the show. You're right. Kevin, can you hear?
Yeah. Yes, I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Like, unplugged everything, replugged it all back in.
The host was actually talking about your book while you were gone, said it should be a New York Times bestseller.
Oh no, it's all complete trash. Don't believe a word she says.
Okay.
I've told Kevin that a couple of times. I bought a copy of her book. But read
what
it.
What is your book called?
It's called The Serpent's Tongue. It's about a private detective in Seattle called Nikki Nettle. And it's based off of the story of Othello, but if Othello was modernized and told backwards from an outside perspective, basically.
That sounds interesting.
She went very Maltese Falcon.
She's also a writer as well.
But I'm not finished with the book, so it doesn't count.
She's got three novels, one of which is pretty much completely done. I don't have the time for it anymore, but I used to do NaNoWriMo. I'm sure you know what that is if you're a writer.
Yes.
I successfully completed that like three or four times. And then I deleted every bit of it because I hated it. And I'm very much a perfectionist, and I wish I hadn't done that now.
I'm not a perfectionist.
I never delete anything, but I do. I'll either pull out the thumb drive, or if I've got the paper manuscript, put it aside, wait a while, and then go back to it. And for the record, whether you're published or not, if you're writing, you're still considered a writer. So
that's what
he keeps telling me.
I'm holding on to it. And the reason she has not finished her book is just because she's busy too. But I mean, she's literally about done, and her series is going to be amazing.
It's hard. I'm working on book 2 and 3 of my series, and the few fans that talk to me are getting kind of fed up with me because I'm taking too long. So yeah, I get it. I don't want to be like him, but yes, where you get to like book 7 and never finish the series.
Exactly.
Yeah. Back to our ghosts.
Yes, please. Why are the woods screaming?
Just to remind you before, I'm sorry to butt in, but you said there's a question you wanted to ask us that you meant to ask at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to end it at, I'm going to ask it at the end so that I can cut it and put it at the beginning, because I really like to have things in order, very structured. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It works for you guys?
That's good.
Perfect. Okay. So we have the two in the woods, and then I'm going to step a little bit outside the woods. In town near that leads into Pluckley is the location of the Watercress Lady. I'm wondering if this is where the screaming comes from. So she was thought to be a gypsy woman, or she was just an older woman, and she would sell watercress on the bridge, but she would also drink bourbon and smoke her pipe.
Yes,
one day she's standing on the bridge and her pipe fell into her bourbon that she was holding, and she splashed it on herself and burned her alive, and her screams can still be heard through town.
Okay, so how much bourbon did she have? I don't know how much you guys may drink, but that would be a lot of bourbon.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I feel like she had to have like a whole bottle of it, but I'm also not sure how realistic the Watercress Lady is.
Yeah, because even if you dropped your pipe into bourbon, pipes are not on fire when you're smoking them.
Yeah, they're smoldering. I actually have a pipe.
Yeah, like, so this doesn't make sense to me at all.
I feel like they just made these ghosts up because they want to hold on to that status as the most haunted city in the entire UK.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, we'll certainly get to that. So anyway, so her screams can be heard through town. Also, one of my favorite ghosts. In town, near the brickworks, the screams of a man can be heard at night, and his ghost is sometimes seen near the building he died of. I say of, because he was slowly smothered to death by a drying that had over on top of him while he was working on it. Go ahead, Crystal.
That sounds really, really a terrible way to die. Like,
yeah. Right?
Dying in a wall.
Yeah. And his last screams are what this town's hear even today. It always happens in the evening. And when they see him standing there in the wall, it's always his bottom half.
Okay.
Okay, that's messed up.
Two things. One.
Go for it.
How long was he laying there with a wall on top of him, with him screaming, and nobody in this town went to go check on him, but they can hear his screams now? That doesn't make sense to me. Also, why are all the screaming ghosts not in the screaming woods?
Exactly.
because that's the part we'll get offended by.
I'm pretty bothered by this.
Well, in the story of the man with the brick at the brickworks,
maybe that's why he died. He just left him. I know what it was. Everybody's so used to the screaming woods, they just assumed it was the screaming woods, and they let the poor guy die under the clay wall. And if you believe any TV show you watch, like when we watch Tales from the Crypt, it literally only takes about 15 seconds to smother somebody. So,
true. Right.
There you go.
No, they went ahead and like freely admitted that it took a while for this guy to die and that a bunch of townspeople did come, but it was a soft clay wall. They weren't able to lift it off of him.
Doesn't sound like a very structurally sound thing to build walls out of. Maybe it's just it didn't cure yet or something.
It didn't. It was still wet and it slipped from its place and like landed on him. So I'm kind of
digging him out.
Well, I'm just going to go on a limb here and say he wasn't very good at his job.
Why wasn't he very well liked?
Sorry, Crystal, what was that?
Why was he working by himself? It seems like usually there's like a whole team of people building walls.
Yeah, they got to have at least one person standing there holding the shovel up, supervising, while three other people are working and a fourth one is talking about where they're going to go get brunch.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very American way of handling construction. And since this ghost became a ghost in around the 16th century, I'm pretty sure they had different labor laws.
Oh, yeah.
He was probably only like 8 years old then.
Yeah, that's why.
Quite probably.
Crushed by this wall. But again, not very well liked because nobody wanted to dig him up.
Okay. Well, let's move on from his lack of popularity. And instead, I'll talk to you guys about the Highwayman.
Ooh.
So one of the most frequently seen ghosts of Pluckley Village is often seen where he died, and he is the Highwayman. He is well known both while he was alive and even now in a century after his demise. People can readily recognize him, so he's unique in that way. And historians. No. Cute. The historians. Historians had no problem tracing his like him back to a real figure. So he's one of the ghosts that have a lot of like historical backing up of and his stories throughout. So there's not a lot of questioning around this one is what I'm trying to say.
Does he scream a lot?
Yeah, actually.
I had a feeling.
But yeah, he so Robert
sings the Highwayman song.
It hadn't been written yet.
Yeah, whatever. It's probably where Willie Nelson got it from.
No, okay. Willie Nelson got it from marijuana, but yeah, that works too.
Yeah, he was smoking marijuana. He saw this guy and he stole his song.
That sounds legit to me.
Yeah, facts.
I'm just going to leave you guys here and go get bubble tea.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll stop interrupting.
Okay. Robert DuBois, a name given to this ghost, was famous for being a highway robber. He would hide inside of a hollow oak tree near Fright Corner, a name aptly given by locals, and he would leap out and startle travelers and passerbys. This, of course, would obviously stun them and allow him to lighten their burdens and put their valuables and send them on their way. I'm imagining this worked a lot like D&D, where he rolled a nat 20, and they just had to like, right, and they just had to stand still while he robbed them.
Yeah, they rolled a one.
Exactly. So this worked splendidly for him for a while, but it became routine and the villagers rather quickly picked up on it and knew what he was doing, where to find him and where he hid. One night, a group of soldiers or other thieves, there's debate about this, came to Fright Corner and they threw a spear at his usual tree, pinning him inside the tree and killing him.
That sounds a little excessive, don't you think? I mean, what if they missed and then he knew about it and he came out? How do they know he's not armed with something more powerful than a spear?
Right. Well, not just that, but like he sounded like a nuisance, but not really like somebody you needed to pin inside of a tree and kill. I don't know.
Wait, did you say what year this approximately was supposed to have happened?
No. So they don't have an exact date, but they're saying it's somewhere between the 15th and 16th centuries.
Okay. Well, maybe that was the advanced weaponry of the time. Sorry.
Like they could have just asked him nicely to leave first before killing him.
Please stop stealing stuff from us.
Or they could have rolled a nat 20 themselves. I'm just saying.
Screamed back at him and used that stun effect.
Yeah.
They could have had a bard in the party, have him sing him out, run him off like a Pied Piper. That's another English thing, right?
Just challenge him to a duel like they do here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Yes. They could have challenged him to a duel because they're impugning his honor.
Mm. I agree. Well, so he was left there inside of this tree. And his body hung there. Nobody went and collected him. So he was just left there. So he frequently appears at Fright Corner. His tree is no longer there. It did not age well. But it is known to appear. And when it appears, so does he. Attached to the fruit tree on Fright Corner. And he's still up to his old antics. So he'll scream at you, but he won't come at you, and he doesn't move because he's pinned to his tree by a spear.
Hmm.
So instead of the screaming woods, it should just be the shouting tree. But
the shouting tree in the screaming woods, down by the drunken witch who set herself on fire with a pipe.
This exactly.
Full of weenie visit.
Yes. On Fright Corner.
Pretty Let's hardcore. Go. Book a on flight. Fright Corner. You know, we're booking a flight. We're going there.
Okay. So there's more, obviously, because there's 12 ghosts. We haven't made it all the way through. There is also a woman in red. And because they had to have everything.
Oh, okay.
They just did both for safe measure. Well, they're two different
times of the year, you know. Sometimes you wear white, and then after a certain time of the year, you don't wear white, you wear red. So, I mean, they're just trying to complement all the possible
That's
ghost
true.
Fashions, you know.
So, you can't see the lady in white after Labor Day.
That's what they say.
Exactly. Okay. So, they're two different women, but they both haunt the grounds near St. Nicholas Church and the Daring Home. And both women are thought to have been members of the Daring household. There is some speculation of who they were in life, but I'm just going to talk about who they were in death at this point. The woman in red was buried in 7 lead coffins inside an oak coffin and placed in the crypt. She is seen searching for her stillborn's gravestone in the church cemetery at night. And she was buried with a red rose in her coffin, which is why she has the very unimaginative name of red, because she's not actually wearing red. And she's not holding the rose, but she's called the woman in red because of the rose that she was buried with.
Well, at least they didn't call her the screaming woman.
Yeah, that's true.
Does she scream?
No, no. But she does search for her stillborn. And so who they think that she was in life is that they think that she was the Lady of Daring or the Lord Baron Daring's wife. And that she died in childbirth, and he was broken up, that he buried her in 7 lead coffins so that she wouldn't decompose.
Okay.
Did it work?
Yeah. I have no idea. They've never dug her up to find out.
They've never exhumed her to check it out.
Correct. Yeah.
Why would lead keep her from decomposing?
It was a very popular thought at the time that lead would keep the body preserved and the elements out. So the more lead you were buried in, the more preserved your body was supposed to be. Scientifically, I don't know if this works, but there are a lot.
When you decompose, you're not being broken down by the elements. You're being broken down by the chemical breakup of your body.
Well, try to tell that to the alchemists from the 15th century. They turn lead into gold. I mean, come on.
No, they tried. If they did, I would be doing that right now.
Aha. Right. You think they didn't succeed.
Okay, so the woman in red is thought of being Baron Daring's wife. Woman in white apparently comes from the same household, but they might be sisters, nieces, cousins, or they're just a couple centuries, couple decades apart. But the woman in white is buried in a white dress, and she was buried Where did I find it? She was also buried inside of an oak coffin, and she was buried in a lead coffin before the oak coffin as well, but she was only buried in one. She's often seen haunting the Daring Library or the church grounds near the gardens, which is why we know that she's not the Lady of Daring. She was not the Baron's wife. But she was involved with the Baron. She just hadn't married him. And the rumor is that she may also have been involved with the monk of the St. Nicholas Church, because she's often seen with the monk's ghost walking the church grounds. And that upon her death, the Baron, he kind of like kicked the monk out. There's more to that later. So, but we know that both of these women came from the Daring family. They're just two different women, and they're a couple decades apart. So it was a different Baron, but I don't know the Baron's name.
She should have been the woman in red if she's involved with a monk and the Baron.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Well, maybe anyway. It's just slander and they're just really good friends.
Could be. Mm-hmm. So the monk of the Grey Stones is a grumpy one, and he's the monk that is rumored to be involved with the Lady in White. There's some confusion of his history, but he's often seen with the White Lady walking near St. Nicholas's church. Those who like to gossip do, and even in death, there are rumors of indiscretion between them, but he was murdered in his home.
Ooh.
And his apparition when he's not with the Lady of White shows up as a dark cloud, and he's very ominous and intimidating, and bad things happen if he's around and not with the Lady in White. But if you see him with the Lady in White, he ignores you.
That's suspicious.
Sounds like a dude to me, but whatever.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Acts all mean until they find somebody and then they want to act nice in front of that person.
Sorry, Brett. This has nothing to do with you.
I'm too old to care. I'm telling you right now.
All right. Cool. Richard Buss, I think is how you say his name. Richard Buss was the miller and died 9 years before the miller was closed down. But then it was struck by lightning and burnt down to the ground in the field. Nobody ever went to rebuild it. However, his ghost appears, and it's very upset about something. It's considered one of the more aggressive and moody specters of Pluckley Village. Before a thunderstorm or before something bad happens, you will see him appear as a black silhouette or a black murky mass in the doorways of where the mill used to stand, or in the field. And if you're caught in the field in a thunderstorm, some people have said that the mass comes at you and it will attack you.
Because he's trying to get you to run.
I guess.
He's okay. Trying to help you.
He's a portent of doom. They have a similar thing on the East Coast here. When hurricanes come, they say that you can see a gray man walk the beach, and that happens shortly before environmental disasters. So, checks out.
That's cool. Our very last ghost is a carriage with some horses, and it is seen and heard catapulting through the streets of Pluckley Village, mostly at night. And nobody knows why.
I'm sorry, I can tell you why. I have to jump in here. You remember that story you told about the lady with the bourbon and the pipe?
The watercress lady.
Yeah, there's a connection here. And I just think that they haven't put it together yet.
Okay. What's the connection?
She's driving the horse carriage. She's been drinking. She's on fire. She can't think straight. It's a whole thing. Trust me. It checks out.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense.
See, I thought you were going to say that the horse carriage was trying to get to her to put out the fire. But no, I like this idea better, that she's driving the carriage.
No, I do like your idea better. So let's go with what you said. That sounds way more legendary.
They're trying to go put out the lady.
I'm sorry for Ken's Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize to Kent and Pluckley Village, but I honestly think in the early 19th century or even 18th century, having a horse drawn carriage going after a poor widowed, possibly gypsy woman to help her in a terrible situation is very unlikely.
That's true.
But what you're not saying it couldn't have happened. So
yeah, what if it was the fire? The fire carriage.
I'm just saying. Okay. So those were all the ghosts and the legends of the ghosts. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to throw some facts. I did some research. I wanted to see what the true stories were.
I love it. And let's hear it.
So I have some facts.
Facts.
The biggest issue or problem with Pluckley Village is that even those that are diehard believers in the supernatural question the sources and occurrences of some of these ghosts because there are no historical connections to them. They can't identify who they were in life before they became a ghost. And the stories don't tend to have a lot of facts or details about them. And the stories are not very old. A lot of these stories begin with things like the legend is, but it's not very generational. It can't be tracked generationally. Pluckley is considered. Honestly, sorry. Go ahead.
This goes back to where we live, and we have a bunch of hauntings here. Most hauntings, even if they stem from an old story, are embellished, and all the actual facts that they're based off of, they typically don't line up with what the story becomes. So these things may have been rooted in some sort of truths. Possibly, but usually it doesn't take long to get removed before everything becomes sensationalized.
Yeah. Well, and you definitely see that in a lot of ghost stories like The Lady in White or The Lady in Red, or even the Highwaymen at Fright Corner. But the problem is if these stories have not been around for a long time, they're not generationally consistent, then there's not a lot of passing down of it. So even if you're not able to track the factual or the actual like person it's based off of, if it's not a story that was mentioned in the last 100 years, it means that it's less than 100 years old. So if you're saying a ghost occurred in the 1500s, it would have to be 600 years old, but there's no documentation, writings of it, mentions of it, where you would see in like a lot of the other ghost stories or legends that we track down, like the cursed chair or the submarine 505, U-boat 505, have documented references to over the last century. And plus, the majority of their ghosts lack that.
Yeah,
there's like three or four that do, but
I would be inclined to agree with your assessment on that one anyway, because in the 15th century, they were using swords, not spears, and they also had guns. So it'd be a lot easier to shoot a man than it would be to throw a spear at him and pin him to a tree. Even then, you'd have to have one hell of an arm to be able to pin a human body to a tree with one spear.
Yeah.
And no
okay,
hammer.
So... most people, if you ask, even the people that live at Pluckley Village, will tell you that the stories and getting the Guinness World Record is often considered only a tourist attraction jump, and that they were created potentially to save a small village from dying out because, they're one of the top tourist destinations in Great Britain now, in Kent especially, and they get people ghost hunting there all the time. Cool. But they only became popular in the last 40 years. So
it was fixed.
I knew it.
I really like these stories, and so I wanted to talk about Pluckley Village, but I was halfway through research before I found the article that basically said it's not actually haunted. So
you're telling me there are not a lot of screams happening in Pluckley Village.
Well, there in are the no screaming screams woods. Happening in the Screaming Woods.
Are those not in Pluckley Village? Or are they nearby?
They're just outside of Pluckley Village.
Okay.
So here's
so you know.
Here's my question. It's a serious question. I want to know who is putting on a green cardigan and walking up and down the lane, pretending to go into the woods and hang himself.
Dude, I want that job.
Because there's been so many reports of tourists seeing a man walking towards the woods in a green cardigan that I 100% believed that story of Henry Turf. And so if a lot of these are made up, I don't know if he specifically is actually a ghost that has a legitimate like history, or if they just have somebody whose job it is to wear a green cardigan and walk around.
He could be the only, he could have been the real one. And then they started making up others in order to, because he was their actual haunting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because he had like that story had so much facts and like information behind it. The other ones were really hard, and I don't even think I found all 12 ghosts. But anyway, sorry. And this is my problem. Like every time I pick these hauntings and I like research them forever, and I tell the scary story first because I'm such a killjoy at the end.
Well, the U-boat one was really good.
Yeah, because that one's like
bad.
Historically accurate. Okay.
Yeah.
So my question, if Brett and Crystal, you are up for it.
Okay.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Absolutely.
I will say that I believe in spiritual forces, and people will classify them as ghosts. And I've personally experienced it myself. I had one actually grab my arm and tug on it in one of the most haunted room of the
Marshall
probably
House.
The most haunted in Savannah called the Marshall House. You can look that up if you want to Google it, or if you want to see one of our episodes, we actually talk about the Marshall House. There was something there. I did not imagine it. It actually happened. So yes, I believe there are spiritual forces.
Great. Incredible. So the reason
and
I asked
terrifying.
That, and terrifying, sorry. One of the reason we asked that question of all of our guests is the very first episode Kevin and I recorded, we asked each other that question. So now it's become kind of a pattern, or that every time somebody comes as a guest on our show, we ask that question. You know,
if they
just
ever
to see where
no, tell them to come to Savannah, Georgia, yeah, and stay at the Marshall House. And what room was it, 204 or 404?
404, I think.
404. Just stay in room 404. You'll become a believer.
Oh my gosh. I'm just not sure I want to. Yeah, well, I'm not sure I want to set somebody up for that. I'm going to ease them into believing.
No, I want to set us up for that. I feel like we should make a road trip and go out there.
That is a long drive from the Pacific Northwest.
We have driven from Washington to Florida before, so.
Well, we're only about 2 hours from Florida, so, you know, you could see Jacksonville, Florida, you know, if you come through Savannah. Well, wouldn't for you, you wouldn't come through Savannah, but
no, we did stop at Thomasville, Georgia on our way though, and we saw the oldest oak tree out there.
That's important. That's we got cool. Big things to catch people's attention down here. I got the biggest oak tree in Georgia. You know, that brings people for miles around.
Yeah. It's actually kind of fun because you guys have the oldest and biggest oak tree, but we have the Washington State has the oldest and tallest spruce tree.
Yeah, you guys have some pretty big stuff going on up there, don't you?
Yeah, it's over 100 feet tall.
That's crazy.
It's huge, yeah. Its roots are like the size of a car. A small car, but a car.
We also have the Tree of Life up here.
I don't know.
Yeah, which is...
The Tree of Life is a sprawling tree that its roots reach across it's not really a canyon because it's not wide enough, but
it's like a cavern.
Yeah, it reaches across a cavern because it was sitting on this bluff above the beach and then the rock fell away, and yet it still sits up there and holds on to the cliff face. And so it's called the Tree of Life because of how it reaches and it's still alive and it survived the cave-in.
I bet that's on a lot of inspirational posters in your area, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very, very popular.
It is. Yeah, you'll see it on Instagram everywhere. A lot of tourists will go out there and see it. It's very cool because it's right over a beach cave, and so you can actually go under the tree and see its roots.
Yeah. Very. And it's very, very inspiring. But
yeah. Well, if you ever want to know if Kevin and I believe in ghosts, you can listen to our first episode.
And I think I listened to the second episode today.
That's cliffhanger.
I missed it.
We are Brett and
Crystal.
And we are from Scary Savannah and Beyond. We are a podcast based out of Savannah, Georgia, the most haunted city in the United States of America. And if you'd like to hear more from us, you can check us out on our website at www.scarysavannahandbeyond.com or www.scarysavannah.net. We're on pretty much every podcast player, and we have a YouTube channel. So if you want to see how ridiculous I look in person, or if you'd like to check out how beautiful Crystal is, please drop in, check us out, hear some scary stories. We also talk about true crime and oddities as well on our show. You can find us on Patreon if you go to patreon.com/scarysavannah. And if you watch our show, you'll know that Crystal drinks more coffee than an entire continent usually consumes in a week in one episode. You can buy her a coffee if you go to the Buy Me a Coffee and look up Scary Savannah.
It takes a lot of coffee to put up with you.
And that is something I truly believe.
That was great. That made me laugh. Thank you for letting our listeners know where to find you and how to support you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. And thank you also for coming on and being such wonderful guests on our podcast. We're so happy to host and have you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to do a quick shout out to our listeners.
Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
Okay. I want to say thank you so much for supporting all of us and participating in this episode of Nightmare Lane. We've loved having you. And as a reminder, if you're going through something challenging right now, know that you're not alone. It may feel like you're doing this by yourself, and maybe you're the only person in the world that's had to deal with something this challenging, but you're not. You're not alone at all. And even though it feels overwhelming in this moment, when you're climbing a mountain, you can't see the top of the mountain. You can only see where you're putting one foot in front of the other. So keep moving, because you got this, and you're going to challenge, you're going to just crush your goals, and you're going to overcome these challenges. So stay strong, because we love you and we believe in you.
We sure do. We love all of you. With that, thank you again, Crystal and Brett, for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for listening. We'll see you next week, and stay spooky.
Ooh.